afternoon, and welcome to Live, Grow, Peak, a lifestyle podcast with Maria Brown. Today we'll be discussing student voice in the digital age. COVID-19 has shut down the United States. It is early April in 2020, and we are learning at home how to manage pandemic, our families, and how to answer the question of continuing the educational experience for our students. Today, we'll be looking at the age-old question of whether or not a student's voice is valid input when creating an instructional framework. Traditionally, teachers wrote lesson plans. They had the support of their district in the form of a curriculum map, and they delivered instruction. Building administrators would make sure that the instruction was delivered, and students would receive metacritic feedback. Today, we're looking to look past the paper pencil execution of sage on the stage delivery of teaching. Children are at the center of the instructional framework and the PEAK framework. It's the students' eyes and ears that drive what will be attractive to them, what will challenge them, and what will change them. This week, my guest in the studio audience is Christina. She is 16 years old. She is a rising senior in a rural Georgia suburb of Atlanta. She is an A student, and she joins me to discuss what the student voice does to impact her level of achievement and her interaction now with the digital age. And I'll start by asking Christina to tell us a little bit about her school life before the COVID-19 shutdown. Welcome, Christina.
Hi. So school life was pretty normal. I'd wake up and I'd go to school. I had about 3 AP classes. I'm in the fine arts, I'm in band and theater. And going to school was, sometimes it was hectic, but most times it was pretty relaxed. Just had to keep up with my schoolwork is all. And it was easy. It had a lot of structure. And if something was wrong, you could just talk to your teacher to fix it.
That must be quite a big change from being a theater major, a fine arts academy major. And what does it mean exactly to be a fine arts academy major?
I'm just in the fine arts academy as a theater major. It's fun. It's a extra layer of high school that not everyone gets to experience, but it's amazing. I get to put on productions with my theater family. I get to go to conferences for theater. I get to do a lot of things and make people happy and pursue my future career as being an actress. So that's always amazing.
Are you able to participate in any of these extracurricular activities being at home since COVID-19?
Not truly directly. I'm not able to put on productions with my friends or like go to rehearsal or anything of that nature. But I have been able to look at some master classes that they have online. You know, it's still helpful, but just not as helpful as being there and being right in the grime was. So I definitely do miss going to play practice or putting on a production. Matter of fact, before they shut down the schools, we were in the middle of a straight show and they canceled it for us opening night. So that was a really big bummer. But yeah, I definitely do miss being able to go and be on the stage.
What kind of experiences did you have at this school? It sounds rather progressive. What kind of experiences did you have with technology? Were there any online environments or opportunities for you to learn digitally before COVID?
For example, since about seventh grade, I've been involved in some kind of virtual classroom where I take a class online. You know, it does have its con, you know, pro. I can do the research on my own and kind of build up my own strength of, like, finding out information. But a big con was the internet's not always reliable, and it was really hard to sometimes contact my teachers, or there'd be issues with submitting an assignment, or issues logging into my account. So that was, you know, always a downplay. And, you know, that has transferred over into this COVID transition. And sometimes it's hard to log into classes, or my teachers don't reserve my work, or I have to email them, but sometimes the internet goes out. So, you know, just a lot of things are going astray with this whole COVID online thing.
Are you worried about how school has changed since before you were 100% digital versus after?
Pardon? Can you rephrase the question?
Are you worried about your grades or your educational experience as you compare your experience in school and your experience with digital learning before COVID or after?
Oh, well, as far as the grades go, as far as me, like, not receiving, like, the right ones, I guess, honestly, it feels about the same as being in school and out of school. Really, it all comes down to the teacher. However, during this COVID time, teachers are a bit more lenient because they do understand that computers aren't as reliable as everything, and it's a bit easier to ask them to change a grade or to, like, review something, just because, like, you have technology as, it's usually the technology's fault. As for being in school, just had to ask them up front, like, oh, like, what's wrong with my grade, or can you give me a chance to redo this assignment, anything like that. But the teachers are being very, very, very understanding and amazing in and out of school, so definitely go ahead.
And I understand that you had a great experience before and after COVID. Do you receive any additional services or anything at school?
It's a little different. They still help us and all. I just reach out and they help us right then and there.
And you reach out to the teachers directly and they're able to help you?
Yeah. They can really reach into my gifted needs, and still give me that rigor and still give me that hard work online. Sometimes, since it is online and we're not able to do, like, the physical projects that sometimes we got to do, it does kind of transfer to just be more work, but it's still very good on our part. Like, we get a chance to, like, really dive deep into thinking and things of that nature. But I do miss being able to be in the classroom and do projects with, like, my fellow students. But, you know, it'll end soon, I guess.
You made a good point, and I heard you reference your gifted services. What I'd like to ask you is, and you know, there's a certain number of segments gifted is set up so that the school district receives monetary support in order to make sure that you receive the additional instructional materials or instructional time that you need in order to address your different learning needs. And as we know, there are students that have additional learning needs that fall above what the mainstream can perform, and some fall below or outside of what other students do. We're very grateful and thankful that we have that set up here in the United States. But take a moment for me and consider. So when you say that you receive gifted support from your teachers, do you still have the same online classes? How are your classes different than regular classes in terms of receiving your gifted support?
I'm not one 1000% sure because I've never really been in regular classes. The closest thing that I could get to are my math classes because I am in regular pre-cal. It's technically gifted for me because it is a year ahead of where I should be in math. But that class compared to, say, my AP language class, it's just a bit of a disconnection. It's, you know, here's the lesson, learn it, take the test in the math class. And then in AP Lang, it's okay, let's sit down, discuss this approach together and come to a conclusion. And then I'll test you on how to come up with another conclusion based off of this discussion.
So that's given us a lot to think about, because not only do we need digital resources that are differentiated to ensure quality instructional practice, but we need to make sure that the resources are addressing the individual learning needs of the students. So having a collection of material that's available for students and for parents to perform on their own may not meet the needs of students who have identifiable learning needs. And of course, as a parent or as an educator, each one of our children are unique, and each one of them brings a unique approach to what they need. But there are specific guidelines that are set aside to support children who have special needs. And thank you for helping us understand that those needs can be directed towards students that need to learn above the normal instructional program. I'd also like to ask you about your choice. Do you have any opportunity right now in COVID or in your digital space to choose what kinds of assignments you have, or to choose how much time you spend on them?
Not the kind of assignment, definitely not. It's just my teacher's given an assignment and I have to do it. As of when, kind of. We still have to log in and attend class online, but there's been difficulties with that, so they're a lot more lenient about like coming into class per se. But I can choose to work on my fourth period work before my seventh period work, if that's what you mean, but it's nothing as a big difference. It's just I can't see my friends and I have to do it in the house is all.
I understand. Well, thank you so much for giving us a bird's eye view into what high school has transformed into.
Yeah, of course.
Menu of resources that the students have to perform. As we look forward, we will be looking to answer questions related directly to not only student learning needs, but to make sure that students of color, that students who have special needs based on physicality, are met, whether they're in an at-home or an at-school-based space. Thank you, Christina. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Of course.
We'll look for our next episode of Live, Grow, Peak, where we'll address how the peak format helps teachers, students, and teachers deliver digital lessons. Just opening up the lesson and doing the lesson may not be all that a child needs. We may need to dig deeper. Tune in next time.